Amud Vav discusses the case of Kimcha Dechite. If a person has wheat flour, which bracha should be recited? Rashi comments in the Ramasva Kimcha that we're talking about a case of Ochal Kemachitim Kamoshu. According to Rashi, it would appear that we're talking about a case of literally in the state of Kemach, flour itself. And Tosus the Ramasva Kimcha disagrees and tells us that if it was a case of literal Kemach, in such a case, of course, the bracha is considered to be that of Shahako. Rather, we're talking about a case where Tulsus writes we're dealing with a type of coarse flour or a toasted type of grain where a person could eat it at is, and that would be considered to be a normal form of achila itself. So, under these circumstances, Rabbi Yehuda says that the bracha is bari pri hadama. The chiddush, according to the view of Rabbi Yehuda, is that the bracha on kimcha dechite is the very same bracha as one would recite on a raw kernel of wheat. That's a brisa later. That if a person would eat the kernel as it grows, then you do recite the bracha of Borei Pri Hadam. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, that is true if it's in its original state, and even if it's true in the state of Kimcha Dechite. And here Rabbi Nachman disagrees and says that is not true, although in the original state that is a Birchas Adama, nonetheless in the state of Kemach, then it's a bracha of Shahako. Clearly, according to Rav Nachman, we apply the principle of Kevan De'ishtane. It has now undergone a change from its normal growth state, and therefore the bracha is considered to be that of Hishahako. If that is true, that the bracha now is altered because of Ishtane, so the Gemara asks, according to Rav Nachman, how is that different from a case of Shem Zayis, what we discussed on Laman Eilat Beis? In that case, you recite the bracha of Borei Pri Ha'etz, and even though Ishtane, nonetheless we assume that B'milsekai, the same bracha, is maintained. And here the Gemara answers the following distinction. When it comes to the case of Kimcha Dechite, the Gemara says that Isle Iluya Achrina Bepas. This is not the complete process. This is only an intermediate state. After all, you're not going to go and knead it as kemach, but now you have to go on to process it as pas, and therefore we understand why, according to Rav Nachman, the bracha is eshahako. As Rashi comments in this circumstance that yotza mechlal pri, it's true that it no longer is in its original state, however, ulechlal derech achiloso loba, but it hasn't reached the stage of derech achila, and that is why Rav Nachman maintains that the bracha is eshahako. So the Gemara now raises the following kasha. If this is true, that according to Rav Nachman, the bracha of shahako, the Gemara says that on kimcha desare, if you're dealing with not chitim, but rather saorin, then the bracha is a bracha of shahako. So the Gemara immediately asks, that doesn't that indicate that this is only true, as we'll see, when it comes to saorin? But if it would be a case of kimcha dechite, then apparently one would recite the bracha Borei Pri Hadama. Because if Rav Nachman is correct, that even on Kimcha Dechite you recite the Brach of Shako, so therefore that should have been the greater Chiddush that the Gemara tells us. Not really Kimcha Desare, but on Kimcha Dechite you should recite a Brach of Shako as well. The Gemara answers no, both are the same. Kimcha Desare, Kimcha Dechite, the Brach is one of a Shako. But the Gemara says the Ribusa of the Gemara is the following, that one could have thought that in the case of Kimcha Desari, no bracha at all should be recited. Why is that true? The Gemara says, follow the kasha, the kukyane, because it is something that is bad for the stomach. It could result in worms. And therefore, one would have thought that you don't recite a bracha at all. So therefore, the kamashmalan is, despite this fact, you recite the bracha of shakal and Kimcha Desari. Kimcha Dechite, it is certainly considered to be a bircha shahako because isle iluya achrina bepas. But one would have thought that kimcha desari is worse and no bracha is recited at all because it is somewhat difficult for the person, kosher the kukyane, kamash malan, that no, the bracha of shahako is recited. Perhaps kosher shat in the Gemara, one could argue this is exactly the shita that we saw in the Rambam. The Gemara says when it comes to kimcha desare, it is something that is bad for one's stomach. It could result in worms. And nonetheless, the Gemara says, you would have thought in Havamina that no bracha is recited. The Kamashmalan is that no, you don't recite the bracha ham yuchedisla, but nonetheless the bircha shako is considered to be necessary. So perhaps one would therefore derive from the Gemara as follows, that even though a person is eating that which is harmful, a davar hamazik, nonetheless the bircha shahakol is considered to be necessary. And as we saw, this is exactly the sheet of the Rambam in Perches Halacha Beis when it comes to the case of shemen zayis. When the Gemara says, you don't recite a bracha because drinking it straight is considered to be that which is mazik, that just means you don't recite the bracha hamiyuchedes for the bircha sa'eis. But a bracha of shahakol, a person certainly is obligated to recite. What was the source of the Rambam? So he pointed out, once you see this Gemara, perhaps this is exactly the makar of the Rambam, where the Gemara mentions that chitasar is somewhat detrimental, it's harmful for the person, but havamina, don't recite a bracha. But kamashlon, you're obligated to recite the birchas shahakol. However, this is very good according to the Rambam Shita, but what about according to the view of Rav Rishonim? Rav Rishonim, as we learned, when it comes to the case of Shemen Zayis, since it is that which is considered to be mazik enam levarach klal, no bracha is in fact recited, it would appear from our sugya that the Gemara suggests this is a possibility, but rejects it and tells us that no, the bircha shahakol is necessary. According to Rav Rishonim, one certainly has to distinguish then between the case of Shemen Zayis, where no bracha is recited at all, as opposed to a case of Achita Desare, where, since it is Kasha Lekukyane, you don't recite the bracha hamiyuchedes lo, but the bircha shakal, in fact, is necessary. So how would one distinguish between these two cases, the sugya and daf lamed ein mud beis of Shemen, the sugya and daf lamed vav, when it comes to Achita Desare? So regarding that case of Shemen, we mentioned several possibilities. One was the Chiddush of the Bach in Siman Reish Beis, where the Bach points out the following. When it comes to the case of Shemen Zayis, there is Hanas Garam. When a person goes ahead and drinks the Shemen, there's a certain benefit that a person is receiving at that moment. As he pointed out, if not from the taste of the Shemen, because the Rambam writes, you really are not being nehne from the Tama Shemen, but nonetheless, if a person will be very thirsty, and he will drink the Shemen to a degree, the Shemen will quench his thirst, and therefore that Alpidin is considered to be Hanas Garam, that the palate is benefiting from this Maisa Shtia. However, when the Gemara says it's Mazik, what does it mean? The Hanas Garam is Mazik? No. It means as far as me'ayim is concerned, right? This is something that's going to be very difficult for the stomach to digest. And in such a case, in that sense, it's considered to be harmful. The way the Bach was mandir in Reish Beis, Shemen has hanas garam, but it lacks hanas me'ayim. And the Chiddush then of the Gemara is in such an instance you recite a bircha shahakol according to the Shita Sarambam, according to Rav Rishon, that is not true. I understand that one could argue when it comes to the bracha rishona, we're koveya based on hanos me'ayim. However, why should the Rambam argue that a different type of bracha is recited? If yes, recite the regular bracha, and if not, perhaps no bracha should be recited? So he mentioned last year the following possibility, and that is, what is the source of bracha? On the one hand, there's an element of matir, we've discussed at length. On the other hand, there is a kium of hodah. After all, two different makoros, kolanen of labracha kilomal, and also, for example, the kavachomer of birchas hamazon. We mentioned as an example, as a model, the shita of Rabbi Yonah, if you're dealing with the kavachomer of birchas hamazon, so therefore it's somewhat limited. In cases where one is obligated to recite birchas hamazon, so too that kiyum exists when it comes to bracha rishona. And for example, the great Chiddush of Rabbi Yonah that maintains if a person is eating pachos mikashir, the bracha is a bircha shahakol. A matir is necessary, but the full kiyum hadah as of yet not, because bircha samazin is only bikashir. In other words, perhaps one could argue that what is true of bircha samazin is true of that kiyum hadah. And then the further Chiddush, why is it necessary to have individual brachos? So with many rayas, we suggested the following, that is a function of the kavachomer of birchas hamazon. As far as the element of matir is concerned, what better matir than shakoni bilvaro? Kadosh Baruch Hu, you didn't just create lechem, you didn't just create mezonos, everything was created. That certainly is the broadest acknowledgement of matir. However, in terms of the kiyum of shevach, there it's insufficient to say shakol nevidvaro when a person is obligated to give thanks for that which is more specific. And that is derived from the chiyuv of Birchas HaMazon. So perhaps the need for individual bracha is rooted in Birchas HaMazon itself. In terms of this issue, whether you should define achila in terms of hanas garam, or whether you require additionally hanas me'ayin. So even though we assume, based on that sugya in Chulin Kuf Gimel that we saw, that when it comes to ma'isa achila, that is defined in terms of hanas garam, that's true, it's considered to be ma'isa achila. But it's very mistaber to argue, as for example, Minchas Chinuch writes explicitly in Shin Yud Gimel, that when it comes to certain cases, ma'isa achila is insufficient. It might be necessary, but it's not enough. When it comes to Birchas HaMazon, all you require is Ma'isa Achila. There the Torah says, V'achalta V'savata. Doesn't Sviya indicate that the body is being nourished, satisfied, that there is Hanas, Me'ayim? And therefore the Chiddush of Minchas Chinuch and others, that Birchas HaMazon requires Hanas, Me'ayim. We pointed out the suffix of Minchas Chinuch regarding Yom HaKippurim. If Yom HaKippurim there's a chiyuv of inui and there's an isra of yisuvei das, again very mistabed, yisuvei das does not mean ma'isa achila, but it means the effect of eating. The Torah doesn't say you can't eat on Yom Kippur. The Torah says ve'inisim es nafsho sechem. If that's true, to complete the loop, one could argue as follows, that perhaps for that chiyuv of bracha, which is derived from Birchas HaMazon, that you require hanas me'ayim. And therefore, if you have a case where there is hanas garam, but it lacks hanas me'ayin, in such a case a matir is necessary. Hanas garam itself requires a matir. But the kiyum hoda requires hanas me'ayin. And perhaps that is exactly why the Rambam would argue that on shemen zayis, the bircha shahakol is required, but there is no need for the specific bracha because that requires hanas me'ayin. According to the other Rishonim, one could notch a step further and argue that without Hanas Me'ayin, there is no bracha at all. Just like in the broader sense, when it comes to Birchas HaMazon that is necessary, so too, even when it comes to Bracha Rishona, even if you can demonstrate that there's a measure of Hanas Garam, if there is no Hanas Me'ayin, no bracha is in fact recited. So how would this help us in terms of our distinction when it comes to a case of Shemen Zayis as opposed to a case of Chita Desare? So one could argue as follows, that when it comes to a case of Shemen Zayis, then one could argue that there might be a measure of Hanas Garam, but there is no Hanas Me'ayim. It's not that the body is being nourished through the Shtiyas HaShemen, and in fact, right, it is harmful for the body to do so. Is that really true when it comes to Kimcha Desare? Can one argue that there is no Hanas Me'ayim when it comes to Kimcha Desare? One could argue, certainly that's not the case. Of course the body is nourished by eating sa'orim. There is Hanas Me'ayim. The person's hunger will be curbed by eating Kimcha Desareh. There is Hanas Me'ayim. His hunger is curbed, the person is nourished. The Gemara mentions the following, that there is a potential side effect, and that is kasha l'tukyonei. The Gemara does not necessarily say that it's mazik es aguf. Here we're dealing with the measure of balance. On the one hand, the chitin certainly nourish, it can sustain the body. On the other hand, then there's a potential effect. That kosher shat could be the difference, according to the view of Rov Rishonim. Whereas the Rambam writes, what is true of Shemen Zayis is true of Chita Desare, according to Rov Rishonim, that's not true. It's considered to be that which is a davar mazik, that al-kadin is not considered to be hanad at all. And therefore, no bracha is in fact recited whatsoever. However, if you're dealing with Kimcha Desare, you cannot argue that one is not nehena. One could argue that the hana is tempered, it's balanced because of a potential side effect, kashla kukyane. So that's the chiddush that, according to Rov Rishonim, that in that case, so you don't recite the full Birchas Hodah. However, since there is Hanas Me'ayim, then a matir is necessary. Just as the Rambam writes that this is true when there's Hanas Garam, the Rishonim will just notch down and argue that no, you require Hanas Me'ayim, but if the Hanas Me'ayim is coupled by Kasha L'Kukyane, in such a case, then you cannot go without a bracha at all. So therefore, simply, the difference between Shemen Zayis as opposed to Chita Desare according to Rov Rishonim, is in Shem and Zayis according to the Bach, there is no Hanas Miam whatsoever. That is not true when it comes to a case of Kimcha Desare. We mentioned the last year perhaps an opposite possibility, and that's what Degli Tal writes in the Malach of Tochein. It's found in Samach Beis Gimel, and this is also what you find in Avnei Nezer, right, in Kuf Chav Dalet Siv Gimel, where the Gleital writes the following, that in the case of Shemin, there is no Hana'az Garam. There is no Hana'az Garam. That's the problem. And that's why, according to Rov Rishonim, you don't recite a bracha, because Hana'az Garam, right, that is considered to be the Koveyan. Ad Kedei Kach, that according to a Gleital, that is not called Hana'az Garam. One could argue it's not just simply a machlokis in mitzius about whether this is hanaz garn or whether it's not. Does the person enjoy or not? L'chora, everyone could agree with that line of the Rambam. And that is that the hanaz garn that a person receives is not mitam hashemen. It may very well be that the person's thirst is quenched as a result of drinking a measure of shemen. But is that really what we call hanaz garam? That's what the Rambam emphasizes. Eino nehene mitam Hashemin. The fact that there's a liquid is insufficient. You have to be nehene, hanaz garam mitam Hashemin. So is that considered to be hanaz garam, or in fact is that not? The Bach considered that to be hanaz garam, but it's mazik v'me'ayim. And the Gleital is arguing that no, that is considered to be, right, unlike the view of the Bach, that is not considered to be a case of Hana'az Garam. That's the Kiddush of Egleitel. Well, if that's true, if regarding Shemin there is no Hana'az Garam, then as well you can understand there's a marked difference between that as opposed to Kimcha Desare. What is the problem of Kimcha Desare? There's no Hana'az Garam. In a case of Shemin, as the Rambam writes, Eino Nehene Mitam HaShemin. That lacks the full measure of Hana'az Garam. That's not true when it comes to Kimcha Desare. In Kimcha Desare, of course the person is Nena Bachilasa. The difficulty is that there could be a potential side effect. But of course the person is Nena Bachilasa. There is Hana'az Garam. So in such a case, simply. So therefore, according to Rov Rishonim, even though on Shemen no bracha, our Gemara says in Kimcha Desare, a bracha must in fact be recited. So one could understand that difference, whether you assume as the Bach, whether you assume as the Gleital, just in terms of what exactly is lacking in Shemen. If what is lacking is Hana'az Me'ayin, or what is lacking is full Hana'az Garam, both one could argue are present in the case of Chita Desare. Just to further ha'ara, if you look in the Jewish V'chidish of Rabbi Kiveger, in our sugya, Rabbi Kiveger just points out the following. When it comes to Shemin Zayis, the Gemara says that that is mazik. The Gemara never says that Kimcha Desare is mazik. The Gemara just simply says that it's koshi l'kukyane. As he pointed out, there's a potential side effect. There's a difference between a potential side effect as opposed to something objectively, which is considered to be a davar hamazik. Rabbi Kiveger assumes the following. If it's a davar hamazik, then there is no bracha whatsoever. However, when the Gemara says kosh l'kukyame, it does not mean lahalocha, a davar hamazik where no bracha is recited at all. It simply means the following, that nishtana l'greyusa. In the normal state, if a person eats a wheat grain, so in such a case, the Gemara says in Daf Lamed Zayin, you have to recite a bracha bari pri adama. No, in that case, I understand. Now you have affected that object, you've broken it down, but as a result, there's a potential effect. What does that potential effect mean? That it's a davar mazik and therefore no bracha whatsoever? No. That's what Rabbi Kiveger points out. It means that what you have done to the chitim is a shinu the griyusa. And if nishtana the griyusa, so in such a case then, you don't recite the bracha miyuchedesla. But this is part, as we'll have to discuss, of the broader issue. And that is that sometimes if nishtan agrees, so the bracha now is the collective bracha, not the bracha miyuchedesla, but the birchas shahakol. And that's exactly the case when it comes to right, kimcha desare. The Gemara does not mean to assume it's considered to be that which is mazik, but rather the process that you have done as of yet, right, is considered to be something which is nishtan agrees. Just even a further point, if you look in the Gemara in Shabbos and Avkuv Tesim with Beis, the Gemara is explicit that Derech Bnei Adam Echol Kimcha Desarim. It's not considered to be Shalom Kederech Achila to eat Kimcha Desarim. To drink a Dvar Mazik, Shemen, that is not considered to be, as Rashi pointed out, Achila. But the Gemara in Shabbos Avkuv Tesim with Beis is explicit that Kimcha Desarim is considered to be Derech Achila. It's just that based on its earlier stage, your processing has had a negative impact because it is considered to be that which is kosher l'kukyane. So therefore, it's like the broader halacha of nishtane, and therefore it's considered to be a bircha shehakol. So again, there are three possible ways of distinguishing this sugya from the sugya of the case of shemen zayis, either in the case of Kimcha desare, there certainly is considered to be hanas me'ayin, or certainly there's considered to be hanas garon, whereas Rabbi Kivenger maintains that there's a fundamental difference between Ishtan and the Griusa as opposed to that which is considered to be a Dvar Mazik. Rashi said Mazik is not called that which is Derech Achila whatsoever. Mashenkin in these cases, that would not be the case. The Gemara tells us the following. When it comes to the case of Kimcha dechite, what would one assume in that particular case? So here, Rav Nachman points out that the bracha is one of Eish HaHakol. Then in a case of Kimcha Dechite, Rav Nachman says, the bracha is one of Shahakol. In other words, that also, Chitim, is different from the case of Shemen Zayis. In Shemen Zayis, the bracha is a Birchasa Eitz, meaning that the bracha is maintained. And yet, when it comes to the case of Kimcha dechite, now the bracha is notched down to birchas shahakol. The Gemara explains why, in fact, is that true? Because when it comes to the case of kimcha dechite, the Gemara says, now a new consideration. Isle iluya achrina bipas. When it comes to kimcha dechite, as we mentioned, that the chefes is not fully processed. Now it's an intermediate state, exactly as Rashi writes, yotza michlal pri. However, ulichlal derech achiloso loba. So the Gemara is making the following kasha. What exactly is the difference between our case of kimcha dechite as opposed to a case of shemen? In other words, the hava mina of the Gemara is ishtane, that since it underwent a change from its original state, it used to be a kernel, now it's considered to be kemach, therefore you can no longer recite the bracha bar pri adama. And the Gemara says, if that's really true, that you maintain that kol hecha de ishtane, the bracha is one of a shahako, then Rav Nachman, how do you understand the case of ha'eitz? Even though in the case of shemen, that the Gemara said naflam ha'obeis, that was ishtani the iluya, there the shini was considered to be to the betterment of the object. It was an improvement. But nonetheless, the Gemara assumes at this point, according to Rav Nachman, that kol hecha de ishtane, even in a case of ishtani le'iluya, the bracha should be one of shahakol. So that's what the Gemara rejects. Then how can that be? You see from Shemen Zayis that even though ishtane, the bracha is considered to be a berchas ha'eitz, and therefore, right, ishtane is not considered to be a sufficient measure of whether the Bircha Shakol should be recited, or is it not? So that's why the Gemara has to come out to the following answer. Iluya Achrina. No, Rav Nachman did not mean Ishtane. The reason Rav Nachman said the Bracha of Shakol, because now you're dealing with Kimcha Dechite. That was an incomplete process. And therefore, the Bracha is considered to be one of Shakol. So again, the Gemara began assuming Rav Nachman's sheet is based on Ishtane. And the Gemara says, if that's true, it's difficult from Shemen Zayis, where the bracha will be Ha'eitz, in a case where it is not Mazik, Ha'idei Nigra, Makam Rafua. So the Gemara answers, you're right, you have to come on to Iluya Achrina. The difficulty apparently then would be the following. Let's assume that lesle iluya achrina. Let's assume that no, the process is complete. Then apparently, what Nachman would agree that the bracha would be its normal bracha, ha'etz or adama, it would not be a bracha shehakol. The koveh is whether isle or lesle, iluya achrina. The difficulty with that is the following, that if you look at daf lamed ches samad aleph, at least the way Rashi understands the Gemara, that does not seem to be at least the sole factor. The Gemara says the following, that Amar le'ahu Rabbanan l'Rava, that Rava was asked, what happens in a case of tarima, tarima mahu? Rashi says tarima is a case where you take peros, and Rashi says the following, kotush k'tsas ve'eno murusak. You take peros, and they are crushed, they're mashed, they're ground, but eino murusak, they are not liquefied. It is not a fruit puree, but rather, right, it is fruit that was crushed. So the Gemara says the following, tamrim va'avidu tarima, if you take tamarim dates, and you make it into tarima, the bracha is borei pri ha'etz. Borei pri ha'etz. According to Rashi, again, we're talking about a case of eino murusak. We're talking about a case where kotush tzatz. Then you maintain the birchas ha'etz. But let's assume that would not be the case. Let's assume it was murusak. Let's assume that it was thoroughly, thoroughly crushed. In that case, then, Rashi is clear. The bracha would not be borei pri ha'etz. The bracha would be one of eish ha'hakol. In fact, this is what the Rama writes in Siman Reish Beis in Seif Zayin, that if you have this type of case of tarima, so if it's liquefied, merusak lagamre, then the bracha is one of shehakol. If not, then the bracha is considered to be borei pri ha'etz. So one now could raise the following question. So how is this case, pri sheni sraseg, where the bracha is shehakol, how is that different, for example, from the case of shemen zayis, where the bracha is considered to be one of ha'etz? Or how is that different from our Gemara, the case of kimcha desare, or kimcha dechite? Because in the case of kimcha dechite, it's true, Nachman says the bracha is shehakol, but why is that true? Our Gemara says it's only because isle iluya achrina. That's because the processing was incomplete. But don't you see from the case of tarima that even if the process is a complete one, the bracha is a bracha shehakol. In the case of tarima, you're not dealing with an intermediate stage. In such an instance, right, the processing is complete. But the only reason you can recite the Birchas Ha'etz is because it was kotush k'tzas. But if it was merusak, that would not be the case at all. So how do you distinguish between those cases? The shemen zayis, where the bracha is ha'etz, even if in its liquid form, and chitin, where the Gemara would have argued that the same thing is true, the bracha should be adam, if not for the fact of iluy achrina, that you're stuck in the middle here, this is an intermediate state of processing, as opposed to the case of tarima, where yisun the bracha is considered to be that of eish ha'hakol. Apparently, the simple teretz is the following. When it comes to a case of shemen, and when it comes to a case of chitin, then we assume that darkon lischot litchon. That is considered to be the normal form of processing. The Gemara writes in Daf Lamed Heva Beis Ishtani Liluya. When you take the zayis and you squeeze it to extract the shemen, that's considered to be improving the chayfetz itself. When it comes to the case of chitin, we assume that that also is true, that when chitin will reach the stage of pas, that is considered to be Ishtani Liluya, certainly darkon lischot belichon, and in such a case, then you don't recite a bircha shehakol. When it comes, however, to the case of other forms of peros, tamarim, for example, a person goes ahead and mashes tamarim, that's the chiddush of the sugya daf lamed ches. There we assume that if it's merusak lagamrei, then the bracha is considered to be shehakol. So therefore, when it comes to a case of shemen, since it is indeed darko b'chach, No, that is considered to be like the Bracha Sa'eitz. When it comes to Kimcha Dechite, no, there as well. Ein Darko Lahaniach Kemach. As it is. That is not the normal usage, to eat it as Kemach. That's an intermediate stage. And therefore that is considered to be Ishtani. Ishtani, the Griusa. And therefore, according to Rav Nachman, the Bracha is one of Eshahako. So Kimcha Dechite is a case of Ishtane. Why is it Ishtane? Because it's not fully processed. Isla Yilu Achrina. Tarima is considered to be a case of Ishtane, because normally it's eaten in its original state, not in a mashed state. So therefore, Kevin de Ishtane, the Bracha, is considered to be one of Eshahako. Perhaps that's again the Chiddush of Rashi, that Yatsi Mide Pri, Yatsi Michlal Pri de Ishtane, and the Chlal Derech Achil Loba. And you didn't reach the stage of Pas, so therefore this is considered to be a case of Ishtani the Griusa, and therefore the Bracha is considered to be one of Eshahako. Mashen Ken, in the case of Tarima, it's true Tarima is fully processed. But full processing is not the Koveya, that's the Chiddush. The full processing of Isle Iluya Achrina is just an indicator of whether this is considered to be Ishtani Le'iluya or not. If normally speaking, the object is processed and the processing is complete, that is not called Ishtani the Griusa. But either if processing is unusual, such as in the case of Tamarim, or if processing is fully normal but the processing has not been complete, as in the case of Kimcha Dechite, that is considered to be a case of Ishtane. This is how the Netziv in Rome Sada Nardav explains these cases. The Gemara did not mean to assume that Isla Ilui Achrina is the Koveya. After all, how do you read the Shach Levatai Bar Gemara? The Gemara begins by saying, why is it that Rav Nachman maintains that in a case of Kimcha Dechite the Bracha Shako, the Gemara suggests because of Ishtane. The Gemara answers, no, Ishtane is not a complete answer, because what do you do with the case of Shemen Zayis? The Gemara answers, Ilu Yachrina. Does that mean that Ishtane is Nidche? It's rejected entirely? And the sole Koveya is Ilu Yachrina? Poshav Shatnat, and it points out, these are all indicators of Ishtane. Ishtane really is the Koveya. When it comes to Shemen Zayis, that's considered to be Ishtani Le'iluya, and therefore the Bracha is Bercha Sa'eitz. When it comes to Chite de Kimche, you cannot assume that that's Ishtani Le'iluya. How do you know that? That's indicated by Islay Iluya Achrina, that you haven't finished the job yet. It's not yet Pas. As Rashi emphasizes, Ulichlal Derech Achiloso Lo Ba. So in other words, what is the Koveya? The Koveya is whether Ishtani Ligriusa or whether or not. The fact that Isle Iluya Achrina is not an independent factor. The Gemara never meant to reject Ishtane. The Gemara just said that Ishtane is not a complete answer. That has to be viewed in terms of its ultimate, Derech Achila, its ultimate purpose. So if this is true, Poshav Shat, according to Rashi, as the Netziv explains, Ishtane really is considered to be the factor. You can have different forms of Ishtane the Griusa. One is because of its current state, right? And that is Kimcha Dechite. One is even in the ultimate state of Tarima, that is not considered to be Ishtane the Iluya. If you look in the Rashba, however, it would appear that the Rashba disagrees. Because the Rashba is bothered by the following. We mentioned earlier, in this case, Rav Nachman says the Bracha is a Bracha Shako. Kimcha Dechite. What exactly is the case? What exactly is the case? Are you talking about Kemach Merusach? You're talking about flour? Something that is thoroughly ground, as Rashi? Or as Tosfos points out, that's not the case of the Gemara. We're talking about a roasted, a parched grain. We're not talking about Kemach Mamish, a fundamental machlokas. The Rashba points out that it appears as the sheet of Rashi and also the sheet of the Gaonim, that we're talking about Kimcha Ba'alma, not Kimcha Dekalayas. And how does the Rashba know this is true? Because the Rashba writes, no, what is the Gemara answer? The Gemara says that the reason the bracha according to Rav Nachman is bracha shehakol is because isle ilui achrein abepas. What does isle ilui abepas mean? The processing was not yet complete. What do you mean the processing is not yet complete? If you're dealing with kemach, good, the process is not complete. Right? The first stage is you make it into flour, but then go on, then make it into pots. If you're dealing with the case of kelayos, if you're dealing with roasted grain, what do you mean that isle ilui achrein abepas? Well, that's an intermediate stage. What, you take the roast grain and then what? And then you bake challah with it? You certainly don't do that. When it comes to the case of kalui, that's it. The processing is complete. So how can the Gemara say isle ilui achrein abepas? And the Rashba writes, if it's a case of kelayos, maybe Rav Nachman would agree that the bracha is bari pri adam. Because after all, you cannot argue isle ilui achrein abepas. What do you mean continue? There's nothing continue at all. The Rashba takes that Gemara very literally. It means, right, is the current state a completed one, or is it not? If you're dealing with kemach, it's not. But if you're dealing with, as Tosfos says, that which is already roasted, the roasted, parched grains, in such a case, this in fact is a completed state. And therefore it's less than ilui achrein. And therefore the bracha should be a bari pri adama. One could argue, according to the Rashba, unlike Rashi, that in the case of tarima, where the Gemara mentions on Daf Lamed Ches that a person should recite the bracha Baruch Pei Ha'etz, maybe that is even in a case of Merusak L'Gamre, because less than Ilui Achrina, because the processing has been absolutely complete. See, the Chiddush according to the Rashba is the Koveyas, whether Isler less than Ilui Achrina. That means that, look at the substance now. Have you finished your test? Has the processing been complete? According to what the Netziv suggests in Rashi, that really is not true. We're not interested in whether your job is done, whether it's cleanup time. We're interested in the following. Ilui Achrein is not the koveya. Ilui Achrein is simply an indicator of whether ishtane or whether lo ishtane. And the Gemara is telling us the following chiddush, that the chashivus of chitin, for example, right, is measured in terms of pas. Isle ilui achrein abepas. And therefore, if it does not reach that stage, it is considered to be ishtane legrisa. It doesn't mean that in the current state, do you have to go further? It means the following. We'll see from the coming Gemara that the Gemara will comment that adai to the hachilo nata inshin. When a person planted, when a person harvested, what was the chitin destined for? What is the normal role of chitin? The Gemara says the clear role of chitin is for pas. Anything short of that, processing that does not result in pas, is considered to be ishtane legriusa. So if that is true, even if you're dealing with the case, for example, of kimcha dechiti, not as flour, but even that which is roasted, one could still apply the principle of isle iluya achrein abepas. It means its current state is ishtan in the griusa, and therefore, according to Rav Nachman, yekav bracha shahakol. It doesn't simply mean that you ask yourself, what is the next step? We want to know whether its current status is called ishtane le'iluya or whether ishtane le'griyusa. The Gemara says that, look, if normally chitin is made for pas and you process it to be something else, thus roasted grain, that is called ishtane le'griyusa. So apparently the Rashba disagrees with that chiddush that the Netziv suggests within Rashi. If you look in Tosfos as well, the Tosfos in Daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, Tosfos the Ramaskal Hai, Tosfos writes the following, that Ein Mevarchin Mezonos Al Shefer Ha'osim Misa'orim. If you go and you take barley, and you process it, now it's considered to be Shefer. So of course you don't make a bracha Mezonos. Why not? So Tosfos writes in Daf Lam Chesem Aleph, because the Isle Iluya Achrina Bepas. That's what Tosfos writes. Isle Iluya Achrina Bepas. What exactly does that mean? What do you mean Isle Achluna Bepas? It means you're going to take the schnapps and make challah of it? Certainly not. It means that the fact that chitin and sarin are, generally speaking, used for pas, this is considered to me in that teretz atosus, ishtani the grimsa, and in such a case, therefore, you don't make the bracha of mezonos. In other words, that this simply is a detail within ishtani the iluya, ishtani the grimsa. So therefore, Tosfos writes, of course, on Shecher you don't. The Rashi would agree on Shecher you don't, but you can take a look. The Tosfos has other reasons why you don't go ahead and make the bracha of Mizonos. Tosfos points out, for example, that Be'en Shecher le Tama Ba'oma. The Shecher is not considered to be a Be'en. It's only considered to be the Tam of the Sori. Fine. But then Tosfos gives an Odie Shlomar that Isli Iluya Chinu Bapas. Clearly, Tosfos is assuming that doesn't mean that what is the next step in the recipe? It means that therefore this is not called Ishtani, the Iluya. The potential of Chitin and Sarin is Pas. And it's not surprising that Tosfos writes that in Daf Lamed Ches, because that's exactly the Tosfos in our Sugya. Because the Tosfos in our Sugya writes that this case of Kimcha de Chitin, which Rav Nachman says the Bracha is a Shahakal, is not talking about Kemach. Kemach is obvious. Here we're talking about a case of that which is koloi, that which is roasted. So on roasted grain, Rav Nachman says you make a bracha of shakal. What's the reason of the Gemara? Isle iluya bapas. Again, it does not mean that you're going to take these grains and bake it into a challah. It means that the potential of ishtani, the iluya, of chitin and sarin is pas. And short of that, you would not recite the specific bracha, but rather the bracha of Shako. After all, the Rashba uses his araya against the sheet of Tosfos to support the view of Rashi and the Gaonim. Tosfos would argue that Isilu de Pas does not mean the next step, and that's explicitly what you see in the Tosfos when it comes to Shechar. Shechar is Isle Iluya Bapas. So it's not that the Gemara again rejected the consideration of Ishtane and went on to a completely new teretz of Iluya Bapas, but rather Iluya Bapas is fundamental to determine the Hagdara of what is considered to be Ishtan Iluya, Ishtana Legreyusa. When the Gemara continues in the next case, you see similarly that the Gemara suggested a distinction. And then the same question can be raised, whether this is rejected lamaskana, or whether it is not. Here the Gemara discusses the following case of Korah. If you have palm shoots, what bracha is recited? So Rav Yehuda says that in such a case of Korah, you recite a borei pri adamah. And Shmuel disagrees and says, no, you recite a birchas shahakol. Why is that true? The Gemara explains, hol v'sofo lahakshos. Because even though right now it is somewhat tender, it's somewhat moist, but that will seriously change. Sofo lahakshos, and therefore, on these type of shoots, you recite a birchas shahakol. The Gemara says, but isn't that difficult, the svar of Shmuel? Because when it comes to tznon, a radish, also sofo lahakshos. It's going to harden as well, and yet the bracha is a borei pri hadamah. So the Gemara answers, no, there's a marked difference. It's known, nite inshe adai to the pulga. When a person plants radishes, he does so in order to use it as pulga, as the soft radish. And therefore the bracha is adama. When it comes to a dekel, a person does not plant the dekel tree in order to use the korah, the palm shoots. The Gemara says that lo nate inshe adai to the korah. Rather, a person goes ahead and plants the tree for the purpose of the Te'enim, the dates, not for the Korah. And therefore, according to Shmuel, you recite the bracha of Shahakom. Poshav Shat in the Gemara. Perhaps Shmuel requires both halachos. Why is it that in the Korah the bracha is a Shahakol according to Shmuel? The Gemara mentioned two different factors. One is Sofal Hakshas, and the other is Lonate Inshe Adai to the Korah. That wasn't the intent, that wasn't the normal use of the Dekel. Now the Gemara continues and asks the following. How is that different from the case of tzlav, a caper bush? In that case, the Gemara says that nate adait de pircha, when a person plants this bush, he does so to use its berries. But yet, you recite a bracha bor pri adami, even on the olim, even on the tamaros, even on the growth, and even on the leaves, you recite an adama. So don't you see that even though adait de pircha, a person will plant for its fruit, for its berry, but that does not mean that on everything else you recite a bircha shahakol. So how is the tzlav different from the case of dekel? So the Gemara argues as follows, that no. When it comes to the case of tzlav, the Gemara says adait de shusa. That means no, when a person plants the tzlav, he has in mind all different usage. Not just merely the pircha, but to use the olin, to use the tamaros, and therefore you can recite a specific bracha. When it comes to a dekel, that's where the Gemara says that lo nate inish adait de korah. No, a person is not planting it with that in mind of use of the shoots. If you look in Rashi, this could be a very important Rashi leaving the halacha. Rashi says the following. You know why? Rashi adds, because after all, sheha ochlo, because if you'll eat the shoots, mimait anfei ha'ilah, it damages the tree. If the shoots are left on the tree, so therefore it hardens, and it becomes part of the bark of the tree itself. It strengthens the tree. Going ahead and removing it from the tree is detrimental. That's when the Gemara says that lo nati insha daita dekara. When it comes to a tzlav, no, a person can have a multiple intent. He'll plant it to be able to use it in many different ways. Rashi goes out of his way and stresses that here, right, it would be detrimental to go ahead and to remove the korah, and therefore, certainly, if one does, the bracha is considered to be that which is shahakol. So the Gemara mentioned a couple of factors. Number one is sofal hakshos. Then the Gemara writes, you have a difficulty when it comes to the case of tzno. The Gemara answers that no, we're talking about a case of whether nate or lo nate inshi adai tadachi. That teretz of sofal hakshos, is that at all meaningful? Or again, is that absolutely nidche? The Gemara suggested in Havamina that the reason Korah does not have the brechas adam is because sofal hakshos, and the Gemara dismisses it out of hand and comes up with a new factor entirely? Or she would argue that no, that two factors are considered to be relevant. Sofal hakshos, as well as whether nate or lo nate adai tadachorah. After all, just even in terms of the simple shaklavatai of the Gemara says, what do you do with the case of tzlav? The Gemara doesn't state explicitly, but tzlav, is that sofal hakshos? Or is that not? If, for example, tzlav is not sofal hakshos, then apparently you see that that's not a relevant factor whatsoever. Because the Gemara simply could have answered, what do you mean? You didn't get past square one. So unless you're going to assume that slap as well is so full of hakshos, the fact that the Gemara says this is a difficulty, and the teretz is whether nate or lo nate adai tadahachi, seems to indicate that we're only interested in the second factor. That consideration of sofal hakshos is absolutely rejected out of hand. The Me'iri in our sugya writes a chiddush, and that is tzlav also a sofal hakshos. That's part of the kasha of the Gemara. Just as that's true when it comes to the case of Korah, No, that's also true when it comes to the case of Tzlaf. In other words, that perhaps everyone agrees, as Shmuel says, Ho v'sof l'hakshos is relevant. But Tzlaf is one of sof l'hakshos, and yet the bracha is a birchas adama. If that's true, the Gemara is answering that you require tar to the reisa. You require sof l'hakshos as well as lo nati adai to d'achi. And only then you recite the Birch HaShahakol. If you look in the Pnei Yeshua in our sugya, Pnei Yeshua does not cite this Me'iri that Tzlaf is considered to be Sof al Hakshos. The Pnei Yeshua assumes that that's not the case. And the Pnei Yeshua is bothered by this question. Why did the Gemara say, and what about the case of Tzlaf? The Gemara could have simply answered that Korah is so full of actions. And that's not true of Tzlaf. Why didn't the Gemara answer that? According to Miri, no, they're both true. The Pnei Yeshua answers, Einachinami. Adifin me mishanim. The Gemara could have dismissed it out of hand by saying, Korah is so full of actions, and therefore the bracha shahakol. But the Gemara rejects Tzlaf additionally because, then what do you mean? That's what you normally use it for. That's why you planned it. In other words, the Pnei Yeshua also agrees, even though he's disagreeing with the Miri in terms of how you would classify Tzlaf as Sof or Lahakshos or Ein Sof Lahakshos. But the Pnei Yeshua does, in fact, agree that both factors are relevant. Only if it is A, Sof l'hakshos, and B, lo nate in shedai t'dahachi, only then do you assume the bracha is shako. And if either one is missing, then you recite the bracha for every adama. If you look in our Tosas, the Ramas Kalo, would appear that Tosas disagrees. Because Tosfos discusses the following case of lulavei gefanim. If you have shoots of the vine, there Tosfos says, lonati inshi hadaita d'achi. People do not plant gefanim to use its shoots. And therefore the brachi is one of shahakol. Im kein osan lulavei gefanim lonati inshi hadaita d'achi. You recite a bracha of shahakol. Tosus does not make any reference whatsoever to sof l'hakshos or ein sof l'hakshos. Unless you're going to assume that even lulavei gefanim is also called sof l'hakshos. Pashur shat in Tosus that the Gemara is rejecting sof l'hakshos from the case of Tanon. And the Gemara is adopting a new criterion, and that is whether nati or lonati adaiti dehachi. And therefore, it also says you can even extend it to a new case. Lulavei gefanim. It's not that the gefanim become hardened. It's true of the pamshus, they become hardened. We pointed out, as Rashi says, that becomes part of the eitz itself. Sof l'hakshos. That's not true of lulavei gefanim, but yet, poshav shat and tosus. Right, that's not necessary. So if that's true, right, Poshav Shat and Tosus, right, it would appear that only one factor is necessary, whether a Dai Tadokhi or a Lata Lavachi. According to the Me'iri who writes, Slap is also Sofal Hakshos. Apparently both are necessary, even the Maskana. Sofal Hakshos as well as Lo nate inti adai shadahachi. And we saw that's true of the Pnei Yeshua as well. Because the Pnei Yeshua writes that the Gemara could have been marchet slav by saying, ain't sof l'hakshos. But you need two factors. And slav doesn't have either one. So a fundamental issue then, the maskana sagamara, whether darko l'hakshos is considered to be something which is relevant at all. Or whether it's just whether nate or lo nate inshi adai tadahachi. See, this is even important halach in the following. Right? The Shulchan Aruch in Reish Beis, in Sivav, quotes our Gemara. That when it comes to Tzlav, you recite the Bracha Barah Pi Adama on the Olin on the Tmaros. If you have the Olin, the leaves, the Tmaros are like the date-like growths, on that you recite the Bracha Barah Pi Adama. So the Mishnah Berurah in the Shar HaTziyun in Os Mem Aleph quotes the Birkei Yosef that writes that this is not true Bizman Hazeh. Even though the Gemara says that when it comes to Tzlav, even the Olin in Tomorrow's you make a Birchas Adama, the Shar HaTziyun quotes the Birkei Yosef that no, why is that true? Because Hayom Lo Nati Lo Inshia died to the Olin of Tomorrow's. When we plant these types of bushes, in our society, we plant in order to eat the leaves. We certainly don't do so. And that is the factor in determining whether the bracha should be a shahakol, or whether it should be a birchas adama. And if the only reason the Gemara says that it's a birchas adama is because that adai tadochi nata inshe, the Berkei Yosef writes the chida that that's not true, b'zman hazeh. And therefore, v'yesh levarach leim shahakol. That's the chiddush that the Shar HaTziyun writes, the name of the Berkei Yosef. So, two haras. Hara number one is that this should depend on what we just discussed, right? How you read the Gemara, whether sofa lahakshos is relevant malach or whether it's not. If you assume that Poshav Shat is Tosus, that the sole factor is whether Nate or Lonati Inshe Adaita Achi, then you can argue as the Birkei Yosef writes. That could change. And if people are not going ahead and utilizing it for that purpose, so therefore the Bracha Shimon of Shahakom. Like Tosus says when it comes to loving Gafanim. But if one should argue, for example, as Meiri or Pnei Yeshua, that the Gemara never meant to reject what Shmuel says of Sofa L'Hakshos, but rather there are two factors at play, and both are necessary in order to go ahead and to claim that the Bracha is Shahakol, so even if Bizman Hazel lo nate inshe adaita da olin, but what about the concern of Sofa L'Hakshos? And Yeshua writes that that alone is a reason. Ain Sofa L'Hakshos that Slav should have the Bracha Barah Pi Adama. Unless one is going to assume as the Meiri, that even Slav is Sofa L'Hakshos. Therefore, Slav is Tarti the Reyes of Bizman Hazel. Number one, Sofa L'Hakshos. And number two, Ain Darko Bakach. People normally don't go ahead and plant to utilize the leaves. If you look in Chelak Aleph of Arachayim, Siman Nun Zayin, the Big Rosh Moshe, Rav Moshe disagrees based on the Diyukim, Poshav Shat and Rashi in the Sugya. The Berkei Yosef writes that Bizman Hazeh Lo Nati Le'inshe Adaita Da'olin, and therefore one should not assume that the Bracha and the Alei Hatzlav but rather now it's the Birchas Shahakol. What exactly does the Gemara mean when it says, Lo nati lo inshe adaita da'olim? Does it just simply mean that that was one's intent? But Moshe suggests the following chiddush, that no. It means much more than that. We pointed out when it comes to the case of the Korah, Rashi writes, why is it that lo nati lo inshe adai to the olin, adai to the Korah? Rashi says, sha'ochlo mimayit anfei ha'ilon, because it's detrimental. And interesting, Rashi adds that also when it comes to the case of Tzlav. Rashi says, when it comes to Tzlav, our Gemara comments, nati inshe adai to the shusa. When a person plans the Tzlav, he's interested in all different types of growth. Rashi says, Lechol es ha'olin ve'es ha'tmaros. You could have envisioned Rashi should stop there. And then Rashi adds, She'enan mematen es ha'ilan bakach. Because by taking off those shoots, it's not detrimental at all. You're not harming the plant by removing the Olim. You get the impression from Rashi why, when it comes to Korah, we assume lo nate insha daita dahachi, and why, when it comes to Tzlach, the Rashi says yes, nate daita dahachi, is that we're not interested in your personal preference, but rather objectively whether or not this is detrimental to the growth of the plant. If it is detrimental, that's when mahalacha we assume that lo nate lo insha daita dahachi, and therefore the bracha shako. If it is not detrimental, then we don't assume that that's true. And we assume, generally, that a person will plant for every use. And therefore, Moshe writes, one could disagree with the Darkei Moshe, even Bizman Hazed. And generally speaking, we'll plant for the fruit, not plant for the leaves, but that's not necessarily sufficient in order to label it, as the Gemara says, that lo nate inshi adaita da'olim. Right? You have to come out with the case as Rashi describes, that you're talking about using the free or the eights in such a way that will harm it. And if that's true, that even if that's not the specific purpose of planting, nonetheless, the bracha could still be that avar pri adama. So again, two haras, that chidush lebrikei Yosef, the bezman hazeh, what the Gemara writes is not the same. Hara number one is the following, that according to Pnei Yeshua, the concern of Sofa Lahakshos is still relevant to Maskana, and that alone, since Slav is Ein Dark Lahakshos, that is the basis of the Bracha Bar Pri Adama. And furthermore, even if one would argue, as Pashem Shatan told us, that the Maskana, whether Nate or Lanate Inish Adaita Da'alin, is considered to be the critical factor, maybe that does not mean in such a subjective sense, or whether it's simply a function of what is helpful and what is not harmful to the plant. And therefore, as long as it's not harmful to the plant, as Rashi maintains, we assume, as in the case of Tzlaf, that there's a broader intent to be able to use it for each and every purpose. Okay, but take a look, if you can, at that Chiddush of Birkei Yosef and that piece in the Gris Moshe as well. Okay, we'll stop. That we'll continue tomorrow with the case of Arla, Daf Lamed Vav, Amud Aleph, right, to the cases of Tzlav Shel Arla, where the Gemara will go through further details of Trumas and Maestros and the status of Tzlav. Tomorrow there is a shir
at 11 o'clock.
Okay, Rav Rashi, everyone is encouraged to attend. Sure, we'll be ready by the time.